Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Are people ready to get some more teaching on how to release your spirit? I made this statement. It says, if you can flow out of your spirit, then with your spirit you can receive things from the Spirit of God that your flesh can't get, no matter how much it prays and cries out for it. It can't get it. It's the spirit of faith that accesses the blessings of God. I just love that utterance. It just came out really fast. Probably flew over a lot of folks. That's why I wanted to say it again. So I'm going to say it again. If you can flow out of your spirit, then with your spirit you can receive things from the Spirit of God that your flesh can't get, no matter how much it prays and cries out for it. It can't get it. It's the spirit of faith that accesses the blessings of God. Hallelujah. So, you know, again, a lot of folks are praying and crying, and God hears us, but we're unable to. The more we're in the flesh, the less we're able to receive the blessings of God. We want to receive the things we're asking for. So we got to be more over in the spirit, or be praying more out of our spirit, not so much out of our head, not so much out of selfishness. So much of praying is out of pride and selfishness. And again, God is patient. God loves us. God meets us where we're at. He's not like, I'm not listening to that. That's not how God is. But if we're going to be effective at praying, we don't want to just make noise. We don't want to just make noise. We want to be effective in our praying. And when we're praying, we're expecting to be receiving what we're praying. We're not just praying to pray to make ourselves feel better just because we're praying. Well, pray, you know, you hear people say, well, prayer is good for you. Prayer is, it's good for your health. It's good for you. You know, makes you feel better. It'll brighten you up. Okay. But what are you praying about? Is that what you're praying for, to feel better and brighten up? You know, what are you praying for? Let's receive the things we're asking for from God. How are we going to do that? We're going to be praying out of our spirit. Out of our spirit. And the less selfishness is involved in it, the more effective our prayers are going to be. And again, selfishness is all a part of the outward man. Well, it's all a part of the flesh. The outward man is selfish. And so what does the Bible say over in the book of James? He says, you ask, but you ask amiss, that you might just spend it on yourself, on your lusts, on your flesh. See? And so you're asking, God's hearing, but you're asking amiss. You're asking amiss. There's so much selfishness in there. So, you know, one thing we need to understand is that when we come and pray before God, we are praying not from a needy, desperate place, but we're praying from a place of victory. Spiritually, we are seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And that's where we're praying from. We're praying from a place of victory. So we understand there's needs, there's things that we need to have down here on the earth to accomplish things in life. And there's things that we would desire and like to have that God has no problem with us having. Matter of fact, God wants us to eat the good of the land. He wants us to have the good things that this world has to offer. He understands that. We understand that. But at the same time, we are praying from a place of faith, which is a place of peace, which is a place of joy, which is a place of being satisfied with God. We're satisfied with God. If I never got another thing from God, if I never got another prayer answered, bless God, I'm satisfied with God. Hallelujah. I got God. You know, if he didn't promise me, you know, that he would answer my prayers, I'd still be happy. Why? Because I got God. And God's got me. And we're one together. One big happy family. Come on, we're seated together with him in heavenly places. So life is good. Life is good. God didn't do another thing for you. Life is good. Just the hope of eternal life, the hope of heaven. I mean, you're going to have a mansion. You're going to have things like that for all eternity. So even if you had to endure down here in a little log cabin somewhere on the, you know, in Nowheresville, okay. Where are you going to be for eternity? Streets of gold, pearly gates, mansions. Come on. In the presence of Almighty God. No depression, no devils. Lots to look forward to. Lots to look for. Lots to be excited about right now. So I just think we need to stay in a continual state of excitement. And I believe that's what faith is. Faith is in a continual state of excitement. But the more we get over in the flesh and we just judge things according to the flesh and how we feel according to the flesh and how things look and how things look like they're going to be going for us according to the flesh, doesn't look like things are going to work out. It looks like it's falling apart. It doesn't look like we're ever going to get this fixed. Regardless of all that mess, you and I are blessed. You and I are blessed. We're in a happy place, spiritually speaking. We're in a happy place. So when we see ourselves according to the Spirit in that happy place, then we can pray not out of selfishness, not out of lust, not out of craving, not out of covetousness, not out of desperation, but we can pray out of a place of faith, a place of confidence. Come on. A place of peace. A place that says, Lord, I got you, and I'm happy. Now let's take care of this. Let's go ahead and get this for your glory. Let's go ahead and do this for your glory. And let me have those nice things so that I can use them as vehicles to express your life through. Lord, let's go have fun together on planet Earth. And it would really be fun if you and I had this house, if you and I had this nice thing over here, this nice thing over here. But we see, we're doing it together with God. He's our peace. He's our joy. He's our happiness while we're praying and believing that we're receiving the things that we're asking for. Hallelujah. Amen. And the other thing that I had said was the only good thing that will come forth from your life is the good God does through your life. That is a powerful statement that would offend a lot of people on Facebook. You wish you could tweet these things. My tweet today is kind of borderline. Because not everybody can handle that. There's a lot of religious people that say, there's a lot of good things that we can do. There's a lot of good things that we can produce in life. But Jesus said, he said, only God is good. Only God is good. Now, there's a lot of people on the earth, but Jesus said, only God is good. So that's why we must understand that the only good thing that will come forth from our life is the good that God does through our life. That's how we were created to live, with God living his life through us. The Holy Spirit expressing his life through us. We were never created, never designed to live independently of God, like most people in the world are doing today. So there's things that appear good according to the flesh, but the only truly good thing that a person can do is the good that God does through them. In other words, everything we do in life is to be through a partnership with God. You and I, apart from God, are wretched. Isaiah said that our righteousness is as filthy rags. Your best is like filthy rags. We talked about Isaiah and how he went up and he saw God. He had this holy man of God. He saw God. He was confronted with God face to face. And he said, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell on the people of unclean lips. He understood how far he fell short of the righteousness of God in and of himself. Now, thank God, in Christ, in the Spirit, or according to the Spirit, you and I are the righteousness of God in him. But we want that righteousness to come forth through our lives. We shouldn't say, I'm the righteousness of God according to the Spirit, and now try to do things in the flesh to appear righteous. It's got to be God's righteousness, God's holiness that is flowing through us, not something that we're trying to accomplish, we're trying to work up in our own strength. And we looked over at Isaiah chapter 58. Why don't we go back there? Isaiah chapter 58. We'll go to verse 8. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. Now again, your righteousness is the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's no longer our righteousness according to the flesh. This is a prophetic word for you and I today. And he says, notice, he says, then your light shall break forth like the morning. That word break forth can also be translated break out. Break out, break through. So the light of God in us is to break through, break out of this outer shell, break out and express the righteousness of God, the life of God. And it's the light that does the breaking. It's the light that does the breaking. You know, you hear people talk about how, you know, God uses circumstances to try to break them. But God, again, does not try to use circumstances to break us. The method by which God breaks us is his light. And what is his light? Psalm 119, 130 declares, "The entrance of thy word gives light and brings understanding to the simple." The entrance of thy word gives light. God's word is light. I said, God's word is light. And what does that light do? Breaks. Breaks what? Breaks this outer shell, this outer self of our being, this selfish man, this outer fleshy man. Breaks that outer shell, breaks that outer man, so that that outer shell, that outer man, no more is dominating our life, is no longer being the one that is expressing itself. Now it's God's light, God's life, God's righteousness that's going forth, that's breaking out. Hallelujah. So how do we get the outer man broken? Let the word of God dwell in you richly. Let revelation of God's word rise up on the inside of you. Because seeing is breaking. Seeing is breaking. When you see the truth, when you see the word, when you see the truth about God, when you see the truth about yourself in the light of God, things crack, things break. Come on. The outer man falls apart and no longer depends upon itself any longer. Just like Isaiah, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm nothing apart from you, God. One of the things we have to realize is how prideful, wretched, pathetic, miserable, selfish we are. According to the outward man. According to the flesh. Again, we compare ourselves with other people, we don't look that bad. When we compare ourselves to others, we don't look that bad. But when we compare ourselves to God, how do we do that? The Word of God. When we get over in the Word of God, which is why I think a lot of people don't like getting in the Word of God. Why is it so hard to get in the Word of God? Even people that love to read. They'll read everything else under the sun. When it comes to the word, it's so hard on the flesh. Because the word is hard on the flesh. The word is rough on the flesh. The word will break your flesh. It will crack it. You know, that's what they try to do in the military. You know, you go through boot camp. You go in there, very independent, very tough. You think you're Rambo. You're God's gift to the military, right? You go in there and they put you through boot camp. And they put you through it. And they'll work on you and work on you. And they will work on breaking you of your self-confidence, of your pride, of your looking to yourself as the final authority on things in your life. And they'll break you to the point where it's just, yes, sir, whatever you want me to do, sir, that's what I'll do. They break you of all your self-love. They break you of you trying to save your life. Sounds kind of scriptural, doesn't it? Sounds Bible. How many people you know that you and I are in the military? We are soldiers of light in the kingdom of God. And we cannot have all this self-love and properly serve our King. If we're going to serve Him, we cannot do this in the flesh. We cannot do this in the flesh. We have to do it in the Spirit. The more in the Spirit we are, the more dependent we are on Him, the more we're obeying His orders, following His leading, and not doing our own thing according to the flesh, and out of self-love, protecting ourselves and trying to save our lives, the more we're throwing ourselves out there saying, "Yes, sir," the more successful, the more efficient we're going to be as soldiers in the army of the Lord. The more successfully we're going to be able to serve God as His ministers. But you see, all that self-love needs to be broken. And so that is what the Word of God does for us. The Word is the instrument by which God breaks us. And again, His working is from the inside out. He's not using outward things to try to teach us a lesson in life. Remember, we said if you don't see Jesus doing it, don't see God the Father doing it. That's a powerful lesson to get a hold of right there. God's working from the inside out. And notice, it's His light that's doing the breaking. And the light is the Word. So it's when you get in the Word and you see it. Revelation. That's why when we come to God and we get in His Word, we want it to get in us. Not just get in our heads, but we want revelation. We come, "Lord, grant me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of You. Lord, show me wonderful things from Your Word that transforms my life." What do you mean? That causes what's in me, this life that's in me, to break forth and come out of me and be manifested through me. I don't want to stay carnal. I don't want to be carnal. I don't want to be fleshy. I want to be 100% spiritual. How many want to be 100? That's what we're pressing for. To be 100% yielded like the Master. He's our example. We want to walk in His footsteps. He's our role model. We want to walk like Jesus walked. How did He walk? Fully yielded, totally surrendered to the will of the Father. I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I hear my Father say. I want to be there, don't you? That's what we're pressing towards. That's the work that God's doing in us. That's what He wants to complete in us. So we need to let Him continue to work in us. But His working in us is according to His light, or according to His Word. So therefore, He can only break us to the degree that we allow Him to. No force breaking. God will never come up to you, put you in a headlock. He'll never put you in a situation where He's just kind of holding you there and trying to break you from according to the flesh. It's according to His Word. And if you don't apply yourself to the Word, then He can't do anything. He can't accomplish that purpose in your life. Well, if God wants to do it, he'll do it. No, he won't. Not unless you do what you need to do, which is apply yourself to the Word. Recognize, I need the light. I need the light of God's Word. Praise God. I need revelation. And the Word does the work. We still got so many Christians. I'm trying to be a better person, and I'm trying to do better, Pastor. I'm trying to do good. I'm trying so hard. That's your problem. That is your that is you. That is the outer man, self-righteousness, trying to clean yourself up, pick yourself up by your bootstraps, and try to manifest your filthy rags. Because your righteousness is as filthy rags. That's what it is. I'm trying so hard. It's not about you trying. It's about you abiding. It's about you drawing near to him because you can't. We need to get that. Everybody smack your... No. I won't do that, but I'd like to do that. Smack yourself 3 times and say, I can, I can, I can't. Don't do that now. But you can do it on your own. I can, I can, I can, I can't. I can't do it. But God can. So what do? I draw near to him. Huh? I draw near to him. I come to him and say, oh, God, your word is sufficient to do this work of transforming my life. It's not he who began a good work in you is waiting for you to complete it. What did the Apostle Paul say to the church of Galatia? He said to him, he said, are you so foolish having begun in the spirit? Are you now going to be made perfect by the flesh? You can't finish this thing. He's got to finish it. We couldn't save ourselves, and we still can't save ourselves from anything. You're a helpless, wretched case. Now, not everybody can handle that word, and I hope I get to have time to get to that. But a lot of people, they can't handle that word. They don't want to hear that. That's very offensive, but it's true anyhow. Of yourself, you can do nothing. Somebody say, it's the word that does the breaking. Hallelujah. That's from the inside out. Go to Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah 23. And in verse 29, the Lord says, is not my word like fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces? You don't know how much of a rock you are. Huh? I'm talking about being hard-headed. Thick-headed. Huh? Dense. Stubborn. Determined. Strong-willed. So opinionated. There's so much of that in the flesh, isn't there? Sometimes that outer man can be rock solid, strong in himself and in the power of his might. Huh? That outer man can be strong in himself, right? But we're always singing, I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It's not by my might or power. It's by the Spirit of the Lord. But so many times, the outer man is the guy that's so strong. So strong. He could be as strong and as solid as a rock. Huh? Just strong as a rock. And many times you can look at people according to the flesh and say, man, that person's solid. That person's strong. That person's tough. That person's resilient. That person's powerful. But it's by their might and by their strength. And that's not how we're supposed to live. We're supposed to live on a much, much higher level. How many people know God's weakness is greater than man's strength? God's worst is greater than man's best. So we don't want to be impressed with flesh. So many people are so impressed with flesh. And so many people are trying to make an impression on people's flesh with their flesh.
Look how strong I am. Look how smart I am. Look how tough I am. Look how wonderful I am. I am powerful. Yes, you are, according to the flesh, which makes you pathetic.
Because according to the Spirit, in comparison to Almighty God, you're pathetic. You're dust in the wind. You rise up and say, because you're so organized, you're so intelligent, you're so business smart. You rise up and you say, we're going to go here and there, and we're going to build this business, and we're going to make a profit over in this place, and then we'll come back next year and we'll do this. And somewhere in between, there's a funeral for you. You never actually finish those things. God says, what is your life but a vapor? I'm a strong vapor. I am a powerful vapor. I am an intelligent vapor. I am a very charismatic vapor. Right? Come on. Let's put it in perspective. How you're so wonderful. You're so strong. You're so powerful. Oh, you're a vapor. Puff. You're gone. Bye-bye. We got to have this perspective because it's the truth. And that perspective, a revelation of it, will break you of your dependency upon yourself and you being impressed with yourself, and it'll break you of you trying to impress people with yourself. They all like me. They all love me. They all think I'm great over there at my job. That's nice. I'm very useful at my church. Everybody's coming to me and asking for my help. Aren't I wonderful? It's so sad. But this is where so many people live and live satisfied. That's the real problem, is they live satisfied there. But I like what the psalmist said. He said, I won't be satisfied until I awaken his likeness. Hallelujah. Where his life is, his strength is coming through. I want his strength to come through. I want him to give the utterance. I want him to establish my thoughts. I want his righteousness, his holiness, his goodness. Our righteousness leads to bondage. Religion is bondage. People are so full of bondage trying to be righteous, and trying to be nice, and trying to please God, and trying to appear holy, and it's bondage. But when it's his righteousness, it's a ride. It's a joy ride. I said it's a joy ride. It's God living his life through you. You're not trying to impress him. You know you can't. It's so sad. So many people still try to impress God. They pray, oh God, I thank you for all you've done for me. And they just and they're so impressed with their prayers. There's still a lot of that. We don't want to be impressed with ourselves and try to impress God. We come to God and we realize, God, you know what you got into when you saved me. Here I am. Establish my thoughts, speak through my lips, do what you do. You're wonderful. Then when it happens, you just look and go, wow, you just give him all the glory. You just give him all the glory. Look what he did. Look what he made happen. You could never walk away and say, by my might and my power, I give God all the glory. That's how a lot of people do it. It's like, I give God all the glory. As they kiss their hand, as they praise him. We got to stop kissing our hand. So you could be a rock. Man, you could be a rock according to the flesh, which is really just a vapor rock. Just a vapor rock. But oh, I love God's word. Look at this. Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord? And like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? I just love that. I love that. See, a lot of people don't realize I'm handling a hammer many times. And we say, ha, ha, ha. Isn't God funny? Crack, you ugly, wretched thing.
You wicked little filthy rag. People are laughing, meanwhile things are splitting. It's like, ha ha, ha ha. Pastor, you just cracked me up. But in the midst of the cracking up, there's a breaking out. A breaking out. His word is like a hammer. Sweet loving Jesus. The sweet word of God. God is a love God. He's a loving, peaceful God. He's a hammer. So it doesn't matter how hard you are, God will break you. If you let him. If you let him. Let these truths come in. Let these truths come in, rise up, and then break out of you, become a part of you. Breaking out of you, releasing the life of God that's in you. So God's word is like a hammer. It breaks things. It's like a fire. It's like a fire that consumes things. Notice Psalm 18. I'm just going to read this. Psalm 18, verse 8, says, smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Coals were kindled by it. Notice that. Fire came from where? His mouth. What's his word like? Fire. Where do words proceed from? The mouth. So here, a devouring fire from his mouth. His word is a devouring fire. It's his word that's like that fire. And notice, coals were kindled by it. Remember the coal that the seraphim took with the tongs of the altar and took that coal and touched Isaiah's lips and says, your sin is purged from you. See, that coal is what? Is the product of the word. It's a product of the word of God. It'll purge things. It'll break us. It'll change us. Come on. It'll cause us to have an Isaiah experience without actually having to go up to heaven and see God with our eyes. We're seeing him with our heart, with our spirit. We're receiving revelation from his word. And we could have the same kind of transforming, powerful, outer shell breaking experience that Isaiah had in Isaiah chapter 6 without actually having that same experience that Isaiah had. Just by simply embracing the word of God. Because the word is like fire that kindles coals that will purge your lips. It'll change the way you talk. It'll change the way you think about yourself, about others, about life. It'll change everything. It will burn up and consume those things that are just fleshy and hindering you from being that spiritual being producing eternal good works. Oh, thank God for the fire. Hallelujah. There's coals flying around here tonight. Get yourself one. Isaiah 30, verse 27. Behold, the name of the Lord comes from afar, burning with his anger. What comes from afar? The name of the Lord comes from afar, burning with his anger, and his burden is heavy. Watch this. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue like a devouring fire. What do you mean his tongue like a devouring fire? Tongue forms words. We're still talking about the word of God. His word is a devouring fire. Isaiah 33. How many people need some things devoured from you? I'm not talking about your spouse. I'm not talking about your boss. I'm not talking about your circumstances. A lot of times we want our circumstances to change. We want things to be removed. And meanwhile, it's what's in us that needs to go. We need to come back and say, Lord, devour me, the selfish me. Devour that part of me. And how's he going to do it? Through disease? No, through his word. Through the fire that
comes forth from his lips. Isaiah 33, verse 14. I love this one. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Zion, according to Hebrews, is the church. New Testament. Old Testament, it's Israel. Jerusalem, New Testament, it's the church. So we can say, the sinners in church are afraid. Fearfulness has seized the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? Again, what is the fire? What is the burning? We've been looking at Scripture. What is it? It's his word. It's his word, the words of his mouth. Words coming from the mouth of God, full of the life of God, full of the weight of heaven. Come on, full of the conviction, the holiness, the perfection, the awe and wonder of God. Man, it just burns. It burns up sin. It purged that sin from Isaiah, those unclean lips. Purged it, burned it up. Burns things up. And people that are hypocrites, people that are talking one way, hallelujah, praise the Lord, and yet they're not really interested in God's life being manifested through them. They're more interested in their own righteousness and their own good works and them appearing good and righteous to men. Those kind of folks, when they get around the devouring fire of God's word, where his word is coming forth in power, coming forth with conviction, coming forth with uncompromising truth, come on, coming forth with bright light, man, it scares them. It scares them. It seizes them with fear. And he says, who among us will dwell with it? Who among us will dwell with this fire? How many want to walk in the fiery word of God? Oh, hallelujah. It's an awesome thing. Numbers chapter 31, verse 23 says, everything that can endure fire, you shall put through the fire, and it shall be clean, and it shall be purified with the water of purification. But all that cannot endure fire, you shall put through water. Friend, I got news for you. Not everybody can endure the fire. Not everybody can handle it. Why? Because not everybody has a heart for God. Not everybody wants to just be completely yielded to God. And the more in the flesh, the more we love ourselves, the more we love ourselves, the more we will not be able to endure the fire of God's word. We will not be able to handle the breaking if we love our life so much as try to hold it together. A lot of folks, they don't want to be broken. They don't want that selfish pride to be devoured. They like themselves. They really like themselves. They'll brag about themselves. Got people telling me, you know, how wonderful they are, and how they've raised their family so wonderful, and how they've built a successful business. And they got church. They got church. Just want enough church to say they go to church. They're good folks. And that's as far as they want to go. They cannot handle this fire. So they just get a little water. Thank God for the water of the word. You know, God's so merciful. He'll give you water. He won't throw you out. Isn't that something? If he says, no, if that's as far as you want to go, if you're just glad that you're saved and that someday you're going to go to heaven and you're content with living your life out of your flesh and all that pride dominating you and you don't even want to see how ugly it is so that you get it cleaned up, you're just happy staying where you are. He says, I love you and I'll receive you as you are, as just a baby in Christ, as a nice little baby in Christ. But then there's those that they're not satisfied, that they want to grow up. They want to go on. They want to mature. They want more of him. Come on. They didn't just get in this thing to get a ticket to heaven. They got in this thing to be turned into heaven, to be full of the God of heaven, to be overcome by him. Right? But notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he says in verse 1, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. Now watch this. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you are not able to receive it. Even now you're still not able, for you're still carnal. There's things you can't receive. There's things that I can't tell you, I can't show you. There's things I can't reveal to you because why? Because you're carnal. And he's saying what? He said, you can't receive it. You can't, we could say, handle it. Or we could say, you couldn't endure it. There's things you couldn't endure because you're carnal. Now again, Numbers 31:23, everything that can endure fire, you shall put through the fire. And it shall be clean, and it shall be purified with the water of purification. But all that cannot endure fire, you shall put through the water. All that cannot endure fire, all that cannot endure the fiery word, all that cannot receive the fiery word. Who are they? The carnal. Who can't receive the fire? The carnal. They can't receive that heavier, weightier word of God. And so they just settle for water. How many people know if you're born again, you're going to heaven? And if you're going to heaven, there's a day coming where you're going to see him. And you're going to see the meat and potatoes of God. You're going to see it. So let's get ready for it. Let's start getting some glimpse of it now. Because it's going to be a whole lot easier on our system. A whole lot easier on our soul to receive the word of God now and deal with the ugliness of the flesh now. All the rebellion and pride and selfishness, self-love of the flesh, it's easier to deal with it now than to stand before him in all his fullness. I mean, it was rough on Isaiah. I mean that angel came here with a tongue and fried him. That hurt. So how do you know it hurt? Because the angel wouldn't touch it with his hands. He used a tongue. He ain't touching that. But here, you could touch it. You know, we just read it. You know, we just read through it. But I mean, you know, Isaiah was probably just, ah! I'll let your imagination figure it out. But his word, the Bible says, his voice splits the cedars of Lebanon. Breaks them in pieces, man. And here we can get little chisels. We're getting a chisel tonight. Ting! Ting! God's trying to break things off us. Ting! And we're going, ooh! Oh! 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 You're wretched. Ting. But when you stand before him, oh, it's full. There's no little ting-tings anymore. The ting-tings are over. The small, still voice is gone. Now it's the voice that splits the cedars of Lebanon. You're going to get split and splintered if you go up there in all that flesh. Right? He goes right and says that here. We've already covered it, but you're forcing me because you love it so much. He talks about it right here. He says, verse 13, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will declare it. That day when we stand before him, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Now that might sound okay now because you're not there. And so we can kind of put that off and say, well, it'll be all right when I get there. But he says, you're going to go through fire. You'll be saved, but you're going to go through this fire. So I don't know how that's all going to, you know, play out. But I don't like the way it sounds. So I'd rather just go get everything burned up right now through the written word of God, revelation in my spirit. Let's just get the purging going now. And do you see how the Lord has connected this chapter here, chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians in the New Testament, with Numbers 31:23. All that can endure the fire, you shall put through the fire. All that can't endure the fire, just go ahead and put them through the water. And God's word is like fire and water, right? And here we are, and he starts off the chapter by saying, I can't talk to you as to spiritual people because you can't receive it. You can't endure it. And then he goes down here and says, the day's going to come where you're going to stand before him, and it's going to be fire. So he's telling the carnal, you better grow up now. That's what he's saying. He's telling carnal Christians, hey, grow up. Start receiving the meatier things of God's word. Start receiving truths that transform you, that break you, that consume that outer shell of you, that removes all that pride from you. Because if you don't grow up and remain a baby, you're going to stand before him and you're going to be dragged through fire when you're tested on that day. So let's receive now the purifying and the cleansing power of the Holy Ghost, and let's not run from it. Let's appreciate it. Hallelujah. Let's appreciate what God's doing in our life right now and cry out for more and more of it and say, Lord, transform me with your word. I don't want to trust in myself. I don't want to trust in man. I don't want to trust in the arm of the flesh. I don't want to lean on my own understanding. I want to acknowledge you. I want to yield to you. I want to be surrendered to you. I want to be a vessel completely consumed and given over to you as a sacrifice that you can flow through and bless humanity through. That's what I want. Can you say amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you so much for the truth of your word.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.